hilltops of glory land. Can you see them? With our spiritual eye, we should be having that in our focus, the hilltops of glory, as we make this journey from the time side of life to eternity. That should be our focus, to make heaven our home. Good morning, brothers, sisters, fellow visitors. It's good to see and to be seen with those who have assembled up on this Lord's Day to worship our God in spirit and in truth. The beautiful song selections that have been put before us by our brother Neil, and the lesson that we all have opened up with for this month, September 1st. Wow. This year is gone. This year is gone. For myself, when I get into September, I don't count months anymore. I just count events, holidays. I mean, really, you know, you guys got your Halloween. I might as well put it out there like that. It's become a major holiday. Not that you're all out believing in the wishes and goblins, but it's a time where many start their focus with Halloween to start working with the Christmas perspective. You got Halloween. You got Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. Y'all know I love Thanksgiving. That's when all restrictions, see, for us who have some of those restrictions, don't eat this. Don't eat that, don't smell, don't touch. They kind of let you go when the Thanksgiving come around. And then Christmas, and then that's your New Year's, and that's your year. So yeah, we're well into our year. But with the lesson for this month, September, another beautiful topic, delivered unto Satan, delivered unto Satan. We just come out of this lesson of the abomination called pride. And when we start to move into a topic like delivered unto Satan, I don't know what many of you all probably expected or how you were viewing that, but basically when we're getting into this type of lesson, it is taking us into what is called church discipline. Church basically delivered is church discipline. I had in your reading, in our reading was Matthew's chapter 18, and we picked up at the 15th verse, but as always, as I'm trying to learn, I like to give a little bit of a backstory, because when you go back in this chapter 18 and look at verse 1, it says, and this is 18 of Matthew, 18th chapter of Matthew, verse 1, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus starts his discourse here in these perspectives. And basically the 15th chapter all the way over to, I would say, the 20th chapter, Jesus is talking. This is the Lord speaking. But here I want to establish that he is now directing some information and some knowledge to his disciples. The disciples ask him a question about greatest in the kingdom. He tells them about the perspective of unless you become as little children. He tells them the parable, I think, about how you should take heed not to despise one another, any of the little ones, how that would be such a jeopardy towards your soul. But when you get to verse 15, he is still talking to the disciples. He is talking to his disciples. That's why it is phrased the way it is. And verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Giving this to his disciples who would continue on and to become his apostles, and what the apostles was taught and guided to present to the church by the guidance of the Holy Spirit became binding. I'm not binding things today, and I'm not loosening things. It's already been bound. And if it's been bound in heaven and earth, I can't loosen it. And thus, when we move into the area, we have no problem with that until it comes to church discipline. Church discipline. We tend to start backtracking and slipping and sliding and having the opinion. I'd like to share with the church says something. This morning, I love my brother Gay. He likes to make scenarios. And so I said, you know, good example. I'm gonna work a scenario. I started with it in the class. I got to stand in this class, and I worked the scenario. And the beauty of it now, see, from the pulpit, I can't get rebuked on my scenarios until y'all see me at the back door. So in the scenario I put forth in class this morning, I made the statement about one having a house, and your house, your home. And I made the even statement, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking pride in your home. We know we just finished the lesson about pride. There's bad pride and there's good pride. There's nothing wrong with being prideful as long as you don't turn covetous and all those other matters that make it, you know, be like the man who wanted to keep everything, hoard everything. But having a pride of your home means you keep it nice, you keep it clean, you keep it in order. And you do it in a prideful way. And not only that, you're proud in the right perspective about your home. You like to entertain. You love guests. You love to invite in and have those who, and they love coming and they love to be a part because you do things from a lovely perspective. You're always concerned about have they had the right care, the right service. You want to make everybody feel comfortable and everybody leave there edified. That's all right? In your home. So you invite Brother Scott. Invite me into your home. Brother Scott got some issues. Brother Scott liked to walk in the desert in the mud and all types of things, and he comes charging into your house with his muddy, unclean feet into your house. And you want those like the floor pristine. You know, you keep your place clean. So, what do you do? What do you do? Brother Scott comes, you invite him in, and you say nothing until when Brother Scott leaves. And you call brother, sister, sister, brother, and you tell him about how Brother Scott come into your house, his feet is muddy, he didn't clean his shoes, he did all these things, and you're just not pleased with it. And you, time comes back again where you invite, here come Brother Scott again with those same old muddy, dirty feet. And you say nothing. Soon as he leave the door, you on that phone, you got, he did it again. He was over there, came, shoes nasty, didn't clean his feet. That's called gossip. That's gossip. That's how gossip works. Now, here in that same scenario, that lovely home that you're so proud and love to invite and have those over, you give such, you're such a good host, you're edifying, and you try to bring everybody, make sure that they have a pleasurable time. Leave with something good and uplifting. Brother Scott, muddy feet, and you. Brother Scott, I need to talk to you. Coming in with those shoes, do you realize that your feet are muddy and all credit? Could you please not come in with your shoes that way? Matter of fact, it would be nice if you just take your shoes off at the door. Is that all right? That's all right. That's a good thing. But now, Brother Scott, look at you and say, oh, you just too picky. You ought to just stop being so nitpicking about everything. Hey, I don't see nothing wrong with that. You just too picky about your stuff. The event ends. And sure enough, the next time, what happens? Brother Scott, dirty feet. But you got guests coming in. So you gather a couple. Said, I got a problem with Brother Scott. He comes into the house and he has no respect for how he enters. So you take a couple of brothers, sisters, guests back. Brother Scott, I have spoke to you about how your feet and your coming into the home is not right. Oh, could you please honor my home and not come in like this? And I again respond with, I don't see a thing wrong with what you're talking about. Matter of fact, I'm going to point out some things. You know your bathroom over there? Your bathroom, where they go in, have you looked at how they be leaving your bathroom? I don't see you in that face about this. I go off. Oh, my goodness. But you've established that you've talked to me. Others have seen how you have reacted to me. Now you make it clear among all those guests that honor, that come to the gathering in your home, that Brother Scott, and I hope you all can see my reason for this, is not welcome when we come into our assembly. And when the next time, the assembly time comes, Brother Scott comes. And you don't let him in? No, but you open the door. You're the proper host. You open the door and let him know that, Brother Scott, until your actions change, until your actions change, you will not be a guest in my home. And I stonewall. So that's how you feel, huh? It's like that, huh? That's how you really feel? It's like that? I ain't got to be. And I leave. But oh, those gatherings I start to think about. Whoa, you know, and she served such good food. Always had plenty of ice cream. And I bet they over there right now, I bet they just having a good old time. I know about now. That brother's probably singing that song that we like to sing so much. And they playing those, oh, you know. And guess what? I start to miss that. So I take my shoes and I clean them. Or I get on the shoes, I get to your door and I show you. I got my shoes. And you say, come on in. Matter of fact, because you miss me too. Brother Scott, we so glad to see everybody. Now that's a simple scenario, but don't you know? Y'all understand what I was trying to bring forth there? That is what church discipline is all about. It ain't to hurt anyone, but it's correct. And then we went on with the scenario asking this. Now, that's a physical scenario. And they tore me up in class because they good. They gave me the what ifs and the how you ought to be, all these things. In that scenario, I tried to bring forth that forbearing, long-suffering, and kindness is something that you don't take out the scenario, but there is a process of starting something. How long should it be before we get to the end of the not being welcome or not? It depends on the situation. Now, that was dirty shoes. And somebody said, well, you, by the time you get through dealing with Brother Scott, you become some some very inventive ways of how to clean your carpet. You probably would. You probably become an expert floor cleaner by the time you get through dealing with dirty shoes. But what if I'm not watching where I'm walking? Not only did I walk in the desert and get dirt and mud on, I crossed through one of those pastures. We do have horses out here, y'all know, right? Okay. I walk through anything, and I'm bringing all of what's on my feet in. How long do you wait? How much do you put up with from that perspective? The situation will dictate also how long things are allowed to go on. Some things are not and should not go on. Now, the other part of it is, in that same scenario, starting from where I did, you came to Brother Scott with his dirty feet. You told me about it, and I'm sorry. I didn't know my feet was like that. And I helped clean the carpet, go back out, take my shoes off. And the next time I come in, I come in right. Third time I show up, I come up right. But then that time I was running late and I come rushing in because I want to be there in this. And I come in, dirty feet. Brother Scott. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, how many times are you supposed to put up with that type of action? What did it say? Peter wanted to know, how many times? Keep it marked on the calendar. 70. That's his 56th time. No, that's not what he meant. If there is a difference between the things that we are struggling with and trying to overcome and just straight out rebellious of not heeding discipline. And they are handled in different perspective. The first scenario that I put out there, it is done, so I will come down out of my prideful state and hopefully, now out there in the world, okay, here's a little side. Your topic of your study for the month is being delivered over to Satan. Question is, how can you deliver somebody to Satan when they're already with Satan? You don't want to just be given over to Satan and his wife, in my scenario. Okay, I enjoyed all that fellowship and all that good care and love that was showing me. Out there in the world, I still got dirty feet, Brother Neil, and I'm walking around. I walk into one of the worldly places with my dirty feet and get punched in the mouth. That ain't how they treated me in the other fellowships that I go. I walk into the other place with my dirty feet and find myself being charged for the cleaning of the floor. That ain't how I was treated in the other place. I continue in my dirty feet episode, and there's nobody showing me any love. Nobody serving up no ice cream. And I do miss that fellowship. That's what being turned over to the world. The world will not treat you with the love that you find in the church. Remember, Jesus was talking to his disciples about how, and those things that were bound and the things that were loose, it's the standard, it's the discipline for God's people in the church. I use the scenario of a house, and my reason for doing that, because we can see that from our own personal life. Well, whose house are we in? Whose house? Whose house? Should he have a standard, or does he have a standard of how we are to conduct ourselves in his house? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And it's not to be hard-handed, it's for the edifying and the building up of everyone who is in the house. Matter of fact, he cleans us. Brother Neil, I ain't got to worry about if my feet was clean. If I come into his house, he cleans me. He expects me to stay clean. From the very onset, he tells me how to come in. I am washed and brought in through the washing. So he expects me to stay clean. And he constantly, if I continue in that fellowship, he constantly cleanses me. I come to the door with dirty feet. Matter of fact, y'all know, in the Lord's scenario, he got down and did what to his disciples? wash their feet. Now, we ain't going to start no foot washing up in here. That ain't what I'm advocating. Ain't been to start foot washing. Because mine would never get washed, because I know. I'd be scared myself sometime. I look at that little funny one that's sitting up there, look at that. Ooh-wee, you know. But this is where if we keep it in its simplest form, Christianity is not complicated. It's actually simple. In some respects, you'd say almost too simple. We complicated with the matters, and that was the process that was put forth. Now, in our lesson, Delivered Unto Satan, I'd like to visit for a moment over here in the Corinthian letter. And that was 1 Corinthians 5 is where we launched the study from. And from our study, we picked up in verse 2. But again, as I look at chapter 5 and I address it from verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Say, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as should not as much be named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, I'm not trying to address this perspective about the sexual acts that they were going. That's not what I'm going to be working with in this lesson for you this morning. But Paul made a statement. Paul was not there in Corinth. He was writing a letter back to Corinth, but he said it has been reported. Somebody had told him something about what was going on in the church at Corinth. One of the issues that we tend to have in the church, and it's not a Christian perspective, it's a worldly perspective, we call, what's that term in the world? Snitches. Snitches get stitches. We bring that perspective into the church that you ain't supposed to say nothing about things. In my scenario, where I spoke about Dirty Foot brother, and you not saying anything, but as soon as I leave, as soon as you're out of prison, you're telling everything to everybody from that perspective, that was wrong, because you're doing it from the wrong motive. Here in the congregation, nobody was saying anything. And that's why in the next verse, Paul talked about, you're puffed up. Why ain't you speaking about, this is the Lord's house, and you're allowing this type of action to go on, and nobody's addressing it. And then Paul brings them back to the perspective that not only was the person, the man, was in out of order in his walk with the Lord, but the whole church was. The whole church was, as Paul was bringing it to them. Verse 4, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that it may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That perspective of things he used about that leaven, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I went so far as to bring my class this morning to a view about leaven. Worked in the correction systems, and when I worked at the state correction system, we baked a whole lot of bread. Matter of fact, we baked anywhere from 600 to 700 loaves of bread a day, every day. Each bat we made was with 100 pounds of flour, and I told about how you put a pound of yeast, 5 pounds of sugar, your oil, your water, your salt, and that's bread. That's all. Don't regular bread, that white loaf of bread you buy, They don't put eggs and stuff into that. That's the simple loaf of bread. Cuts out, the whole lump is laid over. It rises. We cut the dough into 2 1/4 pound lumps. We roll it out, put it in the pan, let it proof. As it rises in the pan, in the oven, brown, then it's put in a slicer, and you got a loaf of sliced white bread. If you want the wheat bread, you use the wheat flour. But I told them about an interesting scenario. Those little lumps that was left over, those little lumps, y'all know what we did with that? Know what Brother Scott did with that? When I make the mix, the flour and all that, it came to a point. I ain't got to get no more yeast out. I just throw those lumps in there, little lumps. And it perforated that whole lump again, and it made it big. That's why in the church, we need to stop looking at things. That ain't no big deal. It's not my call. It's already been so. Sin is sin, and it will perforate through the whole congregation. We need to stand to keep what God has placed pure. He said, you're unleavened. You ain't have that in you. That ain't in us. Now, in this verse, Brother Neil, he was makes a statement about delivering one situation unto Satan. Again, we let our heart, our minds go off the deep end. That ain't about killing nobody. That ain't about letting the devil get possession of you, and now you just foaming at the mouth and your head spilling around. That's church discipline. Delivering one over to Satan is the aspect of now you don't have that fellowship. And that, I don't think sometimes we understand just how much protection we have as being children of God. We ask God's blessing upon us. We ask God's care. Yeah, God is keeping us. But don't you know most of the care comes through one another? Who do you call when you need somebody, when your heart is troubled and you need someone to lean on? Well, I call Psychic Hotline 10. They gonna tell me, yeah. They surely will. They'll tell you a whole lot of good things. And then look at your telephone bill. Look at your charge card. Yeah, they gonna tell you some things. They gonna tell you a whole bunch of stuff to keep you into the wrong perspective. So this, what God has given us as a church, is to help us make it to heaven. He said, for the destroying of the flesh, living one, 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. To sit back and say kind things and to ignore things that a person needs to be. I would say something to him, but you know how he is. He gonna go off if I said something to him. Say something anyway. And if we use the scenario that we're supposed to in the church, you go to that person one-on-one. Now, here's that other thing. Most of the time when a person is gone, too, if he does have a mind of God, you will know if he's struggling or he is just being downright rebellious. Because I will acknowledge, you tell me, Brother Scott, you're wrong. And I know I'm wrong. I should say, forgive me. I may not like it. It may kind of hurt my feelings. It may bring a tear. But if I'm wrong, I should be. And here's the thing: that long suffering, that forbearing. When you first tell me, I might not respond in the way that you want. Y'all always take it on me, and I may take off. But guess what? Give me a little time to get my spirit to overcome my flesh, and I come and I submit. I'm struggling. That's a struggling individual. We all struggling with something. Something. That's why we don't judge ourselves among ourselves. But that's the other perspective, because the scripture says you don't supposed to judge. Oh, another one of those we get all twisted up. And again, I know y'all already judging me is going to be here a long time, but I'm not. I'm not. Because I'm starting to learn, Brother Neil. I want the lesson to be received and not Brother Scott stand up here all morning long and y'all stomachs get to growling and everybody looking at. Amen. Looking at, watch, he gonna come down and start another sermon. Conduct. We should have a proper attitude towards our conduct in the church. You may hear that spoken of, we're not to judge. Some contend that church discipline would be a form of judging. Go to me, come to you, and tell me, now you're judging me. Have you ever heard that happen? Yeah. Oh, now you're judging me. You know you ain't supposed to be judging. But if we follow what Jesus spoke, Jesus declared, judge not according to appearances. Many times I don't see things clearly. I don't know the whole story. There's always those backstories. That's what some of the things I'm trying to see in our lessons as we go. There's that backstory. Why Jesus said that? That's why I went where we were in the scripture. He wasn't just talking to anyone. He was talking to his disciples. And he was telling them how you're going to be having to conduct yourself in the church. You're going to have to deal with some matters. Jesus declared, judge not according to appearances, but judge ye righteous judgment. If you want to know how to judge something, look what the scriptures will tell you how to do it. What God has already judged and what is bound on earth and bound in heaven, it's already been judged, Brother Neil. I ain't got to. All I got to do is say, I tell you about it. Now you accept it or don't accept it. But then it also judges me because it tells me how I'm supposed to say. I can't then go off. Oh, you ain't going to listen, huh? You ain't going to listen? Now I'm, be careful. I can let my good intentions, that's why we got that scripture say, brother overtaken the fall, he who is what? Spiritual. Be aware of your condition before everything that we do. Because I may be the one that need to repent. I may not have had all the facts in the matter also. This is a family thing. This is an issue that we all are a part of. And if when we do it according to God's word, this is love. This is love. The fact is, discipline does not repute love. It actually is reflecting love. It's not loving somebody when you know I'm wrong and I'm on my way to hell and you say, I would say something to them. That ain't showing no love. That's the same as you see me driving off a cliff and you say, hey, now, I will say something to him. You know, when people talk to him, he just, and I barrel on over the cliff. Hey, that sign is out down there, and that's all we're doing. We are directing others to do things according to God's word. Time goes quick. I said I was going to give you all a 30-minute sermon, and I'm going to try to stick to that. So as we start to look at this lesson, because I've come to realize, Brother Neil, in these types of lessons here, this ain't something that can be settled in the pulpit. Come to Bible class. Come to Bible study so these things can be discussed and you can go into the aspects of it as it pertains to us in our life. This is a beautiful lesson. There's so much in there, so much needful for us as the church. We are the church. Jesus started giving instructions. Things were given to his disciples. They were established in the church. God became, through the Holy Spirit, guided them into all truth. Paul was not speaking just presumptuously. He was dealing with an issue that was true, existing, not in the Old Testament scenario. The Corinth congregation was the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we follow that letter, you will see that in that Corinth letter, they had church issues. That the very same issues that you'll basically find in the church today. Corinth dealt with a whole lot of issues, and they were addressed. And if we seek to be right with God and address the issues according to the scripture, not jump into rash behavior. We ain't talking about starting to put folks out of the church. Matter of fact, earnestly, I can say this since I've been as a congregation, I have never seen the action done of disfellowshipping of someone. Because you know what happens long before we get to that? Y'all know what happens? They leave. people leave. No, but in that scenario that I put for what Paul was talking about and what Jesus was talking about, that works when a person desires to be in the fellowship and they don't walk orderly, and after those things have been done to them, that and the effect of it is then they will desire to come back into order with the church. That's how those whole scenarios play out. But many times before anything is spoken from a disciplinary perspective, it's taken to the extreme that, well, of how I feel and how I view things. We discussed some of that in the class because our views will differ about things. But guess what? When it comes to God's house and how we ought to walk orderly before God, my opinions are not the standard by which we go by. God has already judged. God has already put things in the proper order. We will be continuing with this. I said I was going to bring the lesson short, and I hope it was well understood and prepare us to continue on this month in this topic of study being delivered unto Satan. But this evening, I hope to be before you all again. And this evening, I want to address from the standpoint of, are we Satan's assistance? Are we Satan's innocent assistance? Because many times what we will do, we'll find ourselves not knowingly assisting Satan with an effort to be a good friend or have our feelings, and it's nothing new. Peter was. Matter of fact, the Lord told him what? Get ye behind me who? Satan. Adversary, Satan. And we can find ourselves in those same scenario. That's why learning Christ, taking up the yoke and learning of Christ is the most important thing in a Christian's life. So we all can come into the unity of spirit. How we all can know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Not a mean thing, not a harsh thing, but a needful thing, and it's done in love, because who don't want to go to heaven? We all say we want to seek heaven as home, but we must do it by honoring our God, honoring our Lord, and submitting ourselves in obedience to him. To make heaven your home, you have to hear the word of God. You have to hear that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he came to this earth. His purpose was to go and die a death on the cross, a death described for sinners, but he had committed no sin. He made his course to the cross. He gave up his life, but it was for the sins of man. After he had been laid in the grave and rose on that third day, he declared, all powers were given to me in heaven and in earth. The Father gave all power unto him. He then declared to his disciples, whom we are speaking of here, how he was telling them how they should conduct themselves and the things they should do, to go and take that message to all the world. One becomes a Christian by hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting. Stop thinking of things in your way, but think now on what would you have me to do, Lord? He said, confess with your mouth that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that confession, you act upon it by following him into his death. Baptism puts you into Christ. You die to your old self, rise into the new walk in Christ. And that's when we start to learn how to walk and operate in the house of God. That's how we learn to clean our feet. That's how we learn to clean our hands. Those are all scenarios for cleaning your heart, learning to be a Christian through your conduct and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. That's what we offer. That's what the church is all about. If they're any with us this morning, as the brother come forth with this invitation, son, come forward, give your hand to the brothers, your heart to God. Become part of the family of Christ. Become part of those who seek to make heaven their home. If there's any among us who are part of the family who need to clean your feet, repentance is still the way. Repent, get back into step, be part of the fellowship, enjoy what we as Christians are able to enjoy in this world. That's the union with one another and the love of Jesus Christ. If this be your desire upon this morning, let us stand. Invitation song will be sung. We make that offering to you. Come.
There's a fountain.